We just read a moment ago from Matthew 13. I'd like you to turn back there with me, Matthew 13. We read five verses. I really want to focus and concentrate on one verse this morning, and it's found in verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Jesus has given a parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he talks about a man who purchases a field because in that field there's a treasure. And he goes and sells all that he has so that he can buy that field. I want to talk to you this morning about this parable, a truth, a principle I see from this parable that would help us this morning. I've titled the message something that you probably have never heard before. Maybe you have. But I told my wife the title of my message. I believe it was yesterday. It could have been Friday. And she looked at me like I had jumped off the cliff or something, or I'd gone off the deep end, because it's just a weird message. But you'll see why I titled it this title in a few moments. It'll take me a little bit to get there, but you'll see, I believe, the truth in this parable. But here's the title. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. No. Here's the title. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't throw the baby out with a bathwater. Now, what does that mean? I don't have the slightest clue. But I'm going to try to share with you this morning what I believe it means and where we can get a truth from the principle of the word, from the Word of God, that would be similar to that title and help us this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We do thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, if we can't be grateful knowing that our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, then we need more help than I can give this morning. Lord, to think that we're saved, we're born again, we're on our way to heaven, we've been saved from a devil's hell, that is enough to make you want to shout, to make you want to say amen, to make you smile, to know that no matter how difficult things get in this life, once we die or the trumpet sounds, whichever comes first, we're going to live forever with you in all eternity. And Lord, nothing can change that. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful. In the very least, much is the fact that you've saved us. But Lord, in addition to salvation, you've given us so many other things to be thankful for. And I pray that this morning, Lord, you'd help me to get across a truth, a principle that would help us to have the right outlook, to view the positive rather than the negative, to focus on the treasure rather than the field. We pray that you'd bless our time in the Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd give me clarity of mind. I pray that you'd give me a cool, calm, collected spirit. But Lord, in addition to that, I pray you'd give me the confidence and boldness to preach your word in your power and your authority. I pray that you would use this truth to help us all. Lord, if I can just help one person, and I believe it will be well worth the time and effort that was put into preparation for the message. So I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts this morning, and may someone receive what is given today, and may it change them, may it help them, may it just encourage them. We ask for your blessings now, your power, your strength, your touch to be upon the Word of God as it's preached. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. It's incredible what people will go through to try to find treasure. People will go to long lengths to find something that is valuable. This morning, I want to preach on a treasure that a man found in a field. A man finds a treasure. He sees it in this field and he says, boy, I would like to have that. That is awesome. That is marvelous. Oh, if I could only get my hands upon that, I'd be happy. I'd be joyful. I'd have it made. As one preacher used to say, I'd be drinking pink lemonade in the shade. I'd have it made. I'd be on vacation if I had that treasure. But that treasure is found in a field. He cannot just buy the treasure. He must buy the whole field in order to get the treasure. Now, obviously, his attention is directed towards the treasure. I want that. That is just perfect. That is just beautiful. That is just, I mean, that would just make my day. I want to have that treasure. But in order to get that treasure, he has to purchase the entire field where the treasure resides. His attention is on the treasure, and he's happy thinking about it. I mean, he's joyful. He's like, I can't wait. This is going to be good. I'm going to buy this field, and once I buy that field, it's going to be all mine, and especially that treasure there is going to be mine. He's going to get the whole field, but he's thinking only about the treasure. So he buys the field in order to get the treasure. But he was so excited about getting that treasure, he didn't really think about what was involved in the field that he was purchasing. I mean, what does a field contain? A field contains rocks. A field contains mice. A field contains bugs, weeds. My most fierce enemy, snakes. I hate snakes. But those are in the field. Bugs, weeds, rocks, mice. And then furthermore, poison ivy is often in the field. I don't think any of us would desire to have poison ivy. That's not the treasure he was looking for. But all those things are contained in the field that he purchases in order to get the treasure. Regardless of what else the field contains, in this man's mind, it's worth putting up with the negative things in the field because it contains the much sought after treasure. You see, this parable teaches us that in every field, there's a treasure, but every treasure is in a field. The treasure and the field cannot be separated. This man does not throw the field out because it contains the treasure. That's the parable. And from that, I get this title, Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Bathwater. Well, what does that mean? Well, people say that phrase, or people have made that statement to mean this: avoid getting rid of something valuable while trying to remove something unwanted. Avoid getting rid of something valuable while trying to remove something unwanted. That's what that phrase comes to mean. That you don't want to get rid of something that's valuable, but you do want to remove the unwanted things in your life. And they came up with that phrase. I still don't quite understand it, but that's what it means, okay? Because I've never have wanted to throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? And I, even as a dad, I've done my share of bathing my two children when they were young. I didn't leave it all to my wife to do it. I'm a good husband. I did some cleaning up of messes, you know. I won't go any further than that, but I've done my share of cleaning up messes that babies can make. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't throw the field out just because it contains weeds, rocks, bugs, mice, snakes, poison ivy. Why? Because there's treasure in the field. Now, the main teaching, I do believe Jesus is getting forth a spiritual truth here, and that is for you and I as believers, that the field would represent the church. The field would represent that corporate body of believers. The field represents the church. The treasure, of course, is the gospel, the word of God. The word of God is the treasure. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the treasure. And the treasure, or the gospel, has been entrusted to us, the church. And we are much more this morning than just a loose group of people who enjoy coming together for fellowship and a meal once in a while. We're much more than that. As a church, church, we are very, very vitally important to our Lord. He has given us the privilege and the responsibility to be the custodians of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a church, we are to distribute the gospel. We're to give out the treasure. We're to share the word of God with this lost and dying world. The church is extremely important to God. And when I say church, I'm referring to local independent Bible-believing churches. There's no such thing as an invisible church or a universal church. We'll reference the church, but, you know, it's like I said on Wednesday night, a couple Wednesday nights ago, that the church in the Bible is like me referring to the post office. If I said I went to the post office, you would know exactly what I meant. I didn't go to some invisible, universal place in the sky that doesn't really exist. No, I went to a physical location, right? I went to a specific branch of the post office. And so God uses the word church 95% of the time, identifying as a local church. The other 5% of the time, it's this idea of the church as a organism or an organization. It's a general term for the word church, just like as there's a general term for the word post office. If I said I went to the post office, you automatically would come to the conclusion that I went to a specific building, whether it be Bedford Park. I would definitely wouldn't go to Oak Lawn, so don't worry about that, or some other Chicago post office. But you know, I went to a specific building somewhere, okay? And so the church is that in the Word of God. It's a specific place where we go to worship God, but it's this field and it has some weeds in it. It has bugs and mice in it. Why? Because every single person from the pulpit to the pew, we're all sinners saved by grace. There's no one here that's perfect. And as a result, there's going to be weeds, there's going to be bugs, there's going to be mice, there's going to be snakes, there's going to be poison ivy in the field, the church of God. But we got to remember what the treasure is. The treasure is the Word of God. The treasure is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you come to church, right? That's why you come to the house of God, is to get the treasure, to get the Word of God, to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And when you do that, you have to come to the fields. You have to come to the church. And I just want to say this morning, do not throw the treasure out because of the fields. If you're looking for a perfect church, then do me a favor. Don't go join it, okay? Because it won't be perfect after you join it. Because there's no such thing as a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor. There's no such thing as a perfect deacons. Sorry, guys. There's no such thing as a perfect body of Christ. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's negative things about any church. Now, I ought to think that you believe that the church that you attend is the best church in all the world. I think you should have that attitude, that this is your church, this is the best church, and you love your church, but every church has its downfalls. Every church has its weeds, its rocks, its poison ivy. And as a new Christian, I've seen it over again. New Christians will get discouraged because when they first get saved and they first start coming to church, they're just in this, you know, this sense of everything is new and everything is exciting, and it's just in their own mind, oh, this is awesome, this is perfect. I mean, there's no problems. But after a while, you realize that no church is perfect. And some Sunday you're going to come to church and someone's going to be parking in your parking spot. Someday you're going to come to church and someone's going to be sitting in your pew. Someday you're going to come to church and the pastor's going to mistakenly not shake your hand or even recognize you. That's going to happen. Why? Because nobody's perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all have our negative quality. So what do you do? Do you quit coming and say, well, I'm never going back to that church? No, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't toss the field aside just because there's some weeds there. It is foolish to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and it's foolish to throw the treasure out with the field. I want to make a statement that I truly will stand behind. And I'm just trying to be a realist this morning. There are no such things as perfect situations. Now, you may disagree. Maybe you can think of one, but I've yet to come across a perfect ideal situation. To me, that the only perfect ideal situation is when we're in His presence, at His throne, in His glory. That's perfection. But in this life, there may be some very, very good, near perfect situations, but there's no such thing as an ideal, perfect situation. Every treasure comes with field. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm trying to say this. There's a positive for every negative, and there's a negative in every positive, and there would be no such thing as a positive if it were not for negatives. There would be no such thing as negatives unless we're living in glory in a perfect place. This is important. This is important. We have this mindset to realize that our spirit and our attitude is completely dependent upon what are we looking at. Are we looking at the treasure or are we looking at the weeds? Are we looking at that thing that is desirable, that is admirable, or are we looking at those rocks in the grass? Every treasure comes with a field. Let me try to get a little bit practical here this morning. Now, please do not take this statement the wrong way. There is no such thing as a perfect job. Actually, let me say this. Pastoring is not a job. It's a calling, okay? But there's no such thing as a perfect job. So if you're looking for that perfect job, guess what? You're not going to find it. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a place where there are absolutely no problems, no opposition, because every job comes with a supervisor or a manager that's imperfect. Every job comes with an fellow employees that are imperfect. Some people are looking for that perfect job, and they say, "Hey, once I get that job, my life's gonna be set." And then they get that job, and after 3 months, they're discouraged already because they realize, "Oh, it wasn't as perfect as they thought." I'm trying to help you this morning in everyday life, and when it comes with our jobs, there's no such thing as perfect. But what we need to do is we need to be thankful for the positive. Yes, there are gonna be negative circumstances, aspects about everything in life. But what is our focus on? Are we focusing on the treasure or are we focusing on the field? Some people have quit because they didn't like their field. And then after, they would regret it because they overlooked the positive aspects. They had their bills paid. They had food on the table. They had a purpose in life. They had a meaning. Of course, there's no such thing as a perfect job. But if God has blessed you with a job, be thankful for it. Be grateful for it. I'm not saying you can't look for another job, but let God direct you that way. But be thankful for that job that God gives you. There's no such thing in this life as a treasure without a field, and every treasure comes with a field. Okay, let me talk about this one. Marriage. Do you remember the day when you thought your wife was that treasure, or you thought your husband was that treasure? Do you remember that day? You remember that day when you just said you could find no fault in your significant other? You would swim the widest ocean. You would climb the steepest mountain for that person. You loved them so much. And you just couldn't stand being without them. Do you remember those days? You thought that they were perfect. You thought that they were God's greatest creation and that God specifically made them for you because you had such a high standard. Remember those days? Remember those days when your wife or your husband used to be your treasure? But then, after a while, the weeds started growing. You got tired of him putting his dirty clothes on the bedpost. You got tired of her throwing away something that you thought was very important. I mean, it's been sitting on the bookshelf for 5 years and you haven't used it, and she throws it away and you get mad and upset about it. You know, every marriage is like a field. There's a treasure in it, but there's things you got to work through. There's negative aspects about it. Maybe you get aggravated that your husband won't clean off the mirror after he brushes his teeth and leaves those white spots on it. Or maybe you're aggravated with your wife that she didn't wash your dirty laundry. I've heard some foolish things that husbands and wives get mad at each other with. And, you know, I mean, here's the kicker. Getting mad at your husband or wife because they didn't put the top back on the toothpaste cap. I mean, really? We're going to start a fight over that? We're going to get aggravated for that? But, you know, that can become aggravating. But are you going to look at that aggravation or are you going to look at the treasure? Every treasure comes with a field. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage because there's no perfect people. And in every job and in every marriage and every relationship, you've got to overlook the negative and focus on the positive and rejoice in the positive. I'm not preaching positive thinking this morning. I'm preaching realistic thinking. With every treasure, there's a whole lot of weeds and fields surrounding that. But you don't throw the treasure away. You don't throw the field away because the field contains the treasure. And without the field, you can't have the treasure. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. A marriage is a treasure that comes with a field. I am thinking of a couple at the church that the church that I was assistant pastor at that I grew spiritually up in. There was a married couple there. They were married for 64 years, and they were just the sweetest couple. I mean, they went everywhere together. They were best of friends. Now, do you really think in those 64 years of marriage, every day was perfect? Every scenario was is just ideal. Do you really think there was no negative aspects to their relationship? Of course there were. There were bad days. There were depressing days. There were discouraging days. There were days, I'm sure, where they just were at each other's throats. But they overlooked the negatives, stayed with the positive, and remained together all those years. More marriages fail because we focus on the negative rather than rejoicing in the positive. That's how fights start, you know. Sometimes we'll say, oh, we have a bad memory. But isn't it funny how whenever it comes to a marital disagreement, our memory is perfectly fine? let me give you an example. We'll have an argument and we'll say something like this. Well, you remember when you did such and such? All of a sudden, our memory is just fine when we point out the faults of others. And then another spouse will respond like this. Well, that's not as bad as when you did that, you know. And then we'll say, well, that's nothing compared to when you did that, you know. And we'll have perfect memory when it comes to marital arguments. But what are we doing? We're bringing up the negative. Now, every field contains negative things. I'm not trying to get you to live in a fairy tale world, okay? But where's your focus this morning? Are you focusing on the treasure? Do you believe that every good gift cometh from above? And the Bible says that if a man has found a wife, he found a good thing. Your wife is from the Lord. Your husband is from the devil. I mean, from the Lord. Every good gift is from God. And we can get so distracted and so just discouraged and focus on the negative things that we throw out the field. And when we throw out the field, we're throwing out the treasure. What about in friendships? I've had some good friends in my 44 years of living, but I've only had maybe one or two what you would call blood brothers. I mean, just through thick and thin. I've had good friends, but there's only been really one or two people that I know would go to war for me, that would take a bullet for me. And I'm not saying that every friendship is going to be like that, because like I said, I've had many good friends, but only really, really close friends. But here's what we do when we have a friendship that is, you know, right away it seems to hit off, but then after a while, you know, you got to put up with them not responding to your phone calls or your texts, and then they invite someone over to their house, but they didn't invite you, and you know, and then they say something, or they start bragging about something that they have or how good that they have it, and are just not conscious of your feelings, and all the things that go with being a friend. It's so easy to have the attitude of, well, I don't need friends. What good are they? You know, because we're only viewing the negative aspects of that relationship. A friend comes with a field. Comes with a field of bugs and weeds, just like I do. But friendship is a treasure. And I will put up with the field so I can keep the treasure. So I said, in our jobs, in our marriages, in our friendships, how about our church? Every ministry is a treasure. I mean, a ministry that God has raised up for His glory and His honor is a treasure. But every ministry, every church comes with a field. It comes with weeds. And so often we see people foolishly quit church because they finally come to the realization that their church has weeds in it. Their church has bugs in it. Their church has rocks in it. Their church has poison ivy in it. And they'll throw out the treasure because of the field. You know, I don't know how long the honeymoon period lasts for a new church and a new pastor. I don't know if it's already over. Maybe some of your minds, it's already over. It was over the first day I got here. I don't know how long that lasts, but eventually it's going to die out. Eventually you're going to realize that, hey, I'm a sinner saved by grace and I make mistakes. You're going to realize that I have some weaknesses, and I'm going to realize the same about you as well. We're going to come to a point where we realize that, you know, we thought that this match made in heaven, this perfect scenario of having this pastor and this church, and eventually you're going to be disappointed. Your expectations are not going to be met. That's church. That's life. I remember a man who refused to go to church because, and his explanation was because he disagreed with the pastor on an issue. And he says, other than that issue, I think the pastor's great. He's right on, but this is one issue. And it wasn't like a major issue like salvation by grace through faith. It wasn't like a major issue of losing your salvation or something doctrinally that was a cause for him to just quit that church. But here's a man whom I know whom I've had a conversation with, not around here, back in New York, who disagreed with his pastor on one issue. He forgot about the 50 issues that they were in complete unison with, and he quit church. And furthermore, that one issue was an issue that maybe came up like once or twice a year. It wasn't a major Bible theme, so it maybe came up once or twice a year in preaching of the Word of God. And he quit church over something he would only hear maybe one service a year. Now, is that foolish? But that's what happens all across our nation amongst churches. We get bent out of shape so easy. And what was that man doing? He was throwing the treasure out because of the field. Those are just a few examples. I'm sure that you could come up with some yourself. But the truth, the point I'm trying to make this morning is stop looking at the negative, discouraging aspects of your life and start looking at how good God has been to you. Start thanking Him first and foremost for your salvation. Start thanking Him for His precious Holy Spirit, the precious Word of God that He's given us. Start thanking Him for His daily presence that He's promised. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What are you focusing on this morning? The field or the treasure? The field or the treasure? Every treasure is found. That treasure is found in a field. I do not want to see you throw out the treasure because of the field. I don't want to see you throw the baby out with the bath. And Satan's very good at getting us to take our eyes off the Lord and off of His blessings and His plan for our lives and to look at the negative things in our lives. We all have them. There are some things in my life as a pastor, boy, I wish I could change, but I know I can't. If the Lord, if He wants to change them, He can. But if He doesn't, I've got to stop looking at the field and I got to keep my eyes upon the treasure. Simple truth this morning, but it's a great principle. And it's a principle that I believe will help us as we think about being thankful and grateful for what the Lord has given us. Someone once said, a thankful man is a thoughtful man. A thankful man is a thoughtful man. You start thinking about how good God's been to you, you'll be thankful. You'll start praising. Keep your eyes on the treasure and just put up with the field. Let's pray. This morning, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for loving us with an everlasting love. And Lord, the day You saved us, in Your eyes, You received the treasure, but You also received the field because we're imperfect people. We make mistakes, we sin, we are ungrateful, but yet, Lord, You still think we're valuable. You still think we're worth what it took to redeem us. Lord, help us to have that same type of attitude towards the issues in our lives, our job, our marriage, our family, our relationships, our church, and more, Lord. Help us to get this truth this morning. Lord, we pray that You bless our song of invitation now. We pray that You would encourage us to be grateful. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, real quickly, I want to ask two questions. Number one, if you died today, do you know for sure whether or not you would go to heaven? If you were to spend your last moments on earth today, would you wake up in heaven tomorrow? I want you to know that for sure, because the Bible says you can know that for sure. And if you don't know that, then I want to encourage you to just slip up your hand and let me know so I can pray for you about that. So I can encourage you how you can know it. Is there someone here like that this morning? Said, Pastor, I'm going to be honest. I don't know for sure that if I died today, I would go to heaven, but I would like to know for sure. Would you pray for me? Can I see that hand? Raise it up nice and high so I can see it. Second question. How many of you would be honest and say, Pastor, I've been focusing on the field instead of the treasure, and I needed to hear that message this morning? And you'd raise your hand in honesty, say, Pastor, that's me. I've been focusing on the field rather than the treasure. Matt, can I see that hand? As a Christian, let me see that hand. I see those hands. Very good. Father, You see the hands. You know the hearts. I pray for those that just raised their hand. I pray that You would help them to have the spiritual awareness to keep their focus on You and the good things that You've given them rather than on the negative aspects of living in a fallen world, amongst fallen people. Encourage them today in Your goodness. We ask Your blessing now, Lord, upon the song of invitation. In Christ's name, amen.